We're in the book of Ephesians this morning, chapter 3. Doug, would you set my tripod? Chapter 3, and I'd like to read, starting with verse number 14, and listen to these incredible words written by Paul to this great church at Ephesus. The book of Ephesians has been called the bank of the believer. And this is just, it's an incredible, rich book. And I would encourage any of you, if you're looking for a new book to read on a daily basis in the Bible, the book of Ephesians is a great one. But beginning in verse number 14, listen to what he says. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. And is that rain? Thank you, God. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the rain. Thank you for the way that you bless us. Thank you for this word that fills us and moves us. It challenges us, Lord. It takes us deep. It causes us, Lord, to experience you in such a wonderful way. And I pray today that as we begin looking at this subject of prayer, that we, Lord, will be filled. And filled, Lord, we will bring glory and praise to you, who give all good things. We thank you for our church. We thank you for this special assembly day. This is the Lord's day. And I am so glad to be here. And we pray, Lord, that you'll help us now with our understanding, with our listening, with our focus. May we take away from here today something that will help us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hopefully, each one of you received one of these today. Now, we handed these out in Sunday school, and obviously I know some of you didn't get it, but I want you to have this before you leave today. And there will be these, I think, at both foyer doors, so please make sure that you get one of these. This is a prayer guide, and it's something that we're asking all of you, even today if you're visiting with us, we'd love for you to join us, participate with us through this time, 14 days of prayer. We also want you to have this devotional guide, which will take you 14 days to complete. It's just a small devotional on each day. But our desire is that you, all of us together as one, will be reading this each and every day. Some of you, this will be nothing new to you. You're already following a devotional guide. And just add this to the one that you're doing. I mean, I go through several and love beginning the morning this way. But I really want you to have this. So before you leave today, make sure you have this. And kids, hold mom and dad accountable to this. It'd be a good time for you to, in these 14 days, I know you get your children up for school, and it would be a good time to be able to focus on this as a family and say, you know, Pastor Tom wants us to do this, Mom and Dad, so can we do this? And I believe that it will happen. And all of us can come together and really be praying for God's plan in our lives and for the life of our church. This verse I want to read to you again. Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. Now I want you to look at the very first word in that prayer. And it's the word now. Now is a conjunction. It's a connective word. Whenever you have a little connective word in the Bible, it's, and especially if it starts a new chapter or a new verse, it's really encouraging you to go back a little bit before and find out what the now is all about. It's like the word therefore. Whenever you read the Bible and you read a therefore, if you start reading right there, you're missing it. You got to go back and see what the there is there for. And you read back before it, and then you understand why the prophet would say therefore. So the same thing is true with this little word now in verse 20. So let's look back just a little bit to see possibly what is the Apostle Paul, what is he talking about? And if we go back to verse 1 of chapter 3, the Apostle Paul says, for this reason. You say, well, what reason? So we have to go back even further. And so we go back to chapter 2 and we start reading a little bit, and we learn that in chapter 2, Paul is describing several things that are true about the believer. Verse 5, he says, even when we were dead in our trespasses, you made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. We learn in verse 5, Paul is telling these Christians meeting at this place of Ephesus, and he says, Christ makes us spiritually alive. Hold on to that thought. Look at verse 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. We're not only spiritually alive as believers, we are called His workmanship, His poema, His work. And this is something that is true about every single Christian. Look at verse 19. So then, you who are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household. We've learned three things in just these few verses. We are spiritually alive. We are His workmanship. We are fellow citizens with the saints. We are considered part of God's household. And look at verse 22. In whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. We are spiritually alive. We are His workmanship. We are fellow citizens with the saints. We are called a dwelling of God. For this reason, verse 1 of chapter 3. What reason, Paul? For the reason that what we possess as believers, all of these incredible truths about us. For this reason, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of the Gentiles. And then he gives this real long parenthesis. This is what happens sometimes with preachers, where we start talking about one thing and we go, oh, by the way, and we give this long parenthesis that takes a long part of the service, and then we get back to our text. Biblical. It's what Paul does here. From verse 2 all the way down to verse 13 is a parenthesis. He had a thought and he says, oh, by the way, if indeed you've heard, and blah, 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 goes all the way down. And then he picks up his thought in verse 14 and he says again, for this reason. Oh, by the way, I started telling you for what reason. And he begins his prayer. So, for what reason? Because you are God's household. Because you are spiritually alive. Because of all of these things he said in chapter 2 and chapter 1. He says, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives his name. And here's what he asked for. This is his prayer. That he, God, would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man. In the place where we really live. In the place where we think. In the place from which we pray. Paul is wanting them to be strengthened with power. How many of you would say, Pastor, if only I could have more strength in the inner man? Every single one of us would raise our hands as believers. Because we have difficulty with this very thing. We find ourselves more often weak than strong. We find ourselves more often falling or leaning toward temptation rather than having the strength to stand. We really do have a problem. Go with me to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Because I think I know what our problem is. I at least know what my problem is. And I think it's your problem as well. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 16. What is the first word? Therefore. Can we start here? No way. We can't start with a therefore. We have to go back and we have to look and see what has he been talking about. So go back to chapter 4 and verse 1. What do we have? Therefore. Man, we can't start here either. We've got to keep going back until we sort of get to a place that we can sort of find out. What are you saying? Verse 18. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. Therefore, he's bringing something up here. Something in our lives that I believe is missing. It's living from glory to glory. Moment to moment. Experience to experience. Look at verse 16. When he comes to this, therefore, he's already said about this fact of living this way. He's saying, therefore, we do not lose heart. But though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed. What does it say? Day by day. Moment by moment. Glory to glory. Now, as I've thought about my own life, the times when I am living moment by moment, day by day, I find more strength in my heart, more strength in my life, more focus in my mind. But the world that we live in, they don't think day by day, moment by moment. They think week by week, month by month, event by event. You soccer moms and dads, you're living event by event. Well, when's the next game? That's really what's on your mind. You're almost being consumed by the schedule. And so we forget that God wants us to experience Him day by day. Not Sunday to Sunday. That's why this guide will be such a benefit to you to get you on course. Day by day. Moment by moment. Glory to glory. And I believe that if we will do this, we will begin to understand what this apostle is writing for us. That we could experience this strength in our inner man. And that we can start building on that. Now, if you'll notice, what he says in this passage, and this is really exciting. He says that the strength that he's praying for and the blessings that he's praying for, it's not out of, but it is according to. Look at verse 20. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to. Not out of, but according to. Verse 16. That he would grant you according to the riches. You say, what's the difference? If a millionaire gives $50 to the church, he's giving out of his wealth. If he gives $50,000 to the church, he's giving according to his wealth. See the difference? And when it says that God is giving us riches according to, it means that we have out of his great infinite riches and strength every reason to ask that we also could be strengthened in this way. That's the first thing he says. The second thing he says in verse 17, he says, first of all, that you would be strengthened in the inner man. And I think for some of us, if we can re-get our focus on a day-by-day walk with Jesus, we will rediscover that strength in the inner man. But there's a second thing he says in verse 17. And it begins with a purpose clause. So that he wants you to be strengthened in your inner man for a specific reason. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth. God's purpose for wanting us to be strengthened in our inner man is so that He can be at home in our hearts. This word that is used here in verse number 17, the word dwell, this is a word kata oikeo. It's a compound word. Kata is a preposition, down. Oikeo is the word for a house. You say, well, what does that mean? It means to settle down. It means to make your house your home. Some of you, go back with me and remember. You got married. You went on your honeymoon. You come back from the honeymoon and you move in together. And you start making that place, whether it's a house or an apartment or a little room, whatever it is. You start settling in, settling down. You start making it yours. You put your pictures, not the neighbors, on the wall. You make it yours. That's what Christ wants to do in us. He wants to be able to settle down, to dwell in our hearts. And when your heart is filled with stuff and there's no room for Him, and you wonder why you don't sense His strength and His power? In this little booklet, and some of you have read this, My Heart, Christ's Home, the author is Robert Munger. He pictures the Christian life as a house through which Jesus goes from room to room. In the library, which is the mind, Jesus finds trash and all sorts of worthless things, which He proceeds to throw out and replace with His Word. In the dining room of appetite, He finds many sinful desires listed on a worldly menu. In the place of such things as prestige, materialism, and lust, He puts humility, meekness, love, and all the other virtues for which believers are to hunger and thirst. He goes through the living room of fellowship, where He finds many worldly companions and activities, through the workshop where only toys are being made, into the closet where hidden sins are kept, and so on through the entire house. Only when He had cleaned every room, closet, and corner of sin and foolishness could He settle down and be at home. My question to you, as I've questioned myself this week? Is Christ at home in my inner man? Is He at home in my heart? When the inner person, the inner man, the new nature, when we are being strengthened by Him, we are finding that our lives are changing, because as the Spirit of God brings to us things that don't belong, we get rid of them. We move away from them. And then Jesus enters our house and He is at home. And we sense His presence. We see His hand at work. And in this process fulfills what Jesus in His own words said to His disciples in John 14:23. If anyone loves Me, he will keep My word, and My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. Do you feel empty this morning? Do you feel like you don't have any inner strength, that as a believer that your house is somewhat empty? Start allowing Him to be at home in your heart and get the other things out of your life. You will regain and re-sense that strength. It will come with power. And it will result in an indwelling Christ. But that's not all. Look at verse 19. There's something else that happens in this process. And I call it, as I have before, extravagant love. Some of you know what it is to love extravagantly. And to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be what? Say it. Filled up. Filled up. I go to the gas station and I don't, well, sometimes I do. Give me $5. No, I usually say, fill her up. Fill it up. I like having a full tank of gas. He's saying that we can be filled up with to all the fullness of God. Someone asked the famous jazz trumpeter Louis Armstrong if he would explain jazz. And he said, man, if I've got to explain it, you ain't got it. And this filling, this being filled up, this having your heart and your soul filled with God, many of you know exactly what that is. It's a daily thing for you. Others of you might be wondering, what is this? So I want to illustrate it to you. And I didn't check my marker. Uh-oh. Doug, somebody, a magic marker? Could you locate me one? Or Peggy, you might have to. I want to show you an illustration out of marriage. This is what I call Tom's love bucket. I drew this bucket ahead of time because I didn't want to be just embarrassed in front of you. It kind of looks like a bucket. But the name of this bucket is agape. That's the Greek word for love. The deepest form of love. Love that's not based upon feeling, but a love that is based on my choice. I chose my love 31 years ago, and I love my choice. This love bucket is about a decision that I make and that I made. And inside of this bucket, this marriage bucket, a lot of things are in this bucket. Many of you will agree. Some of you who haven't gotten married yet, you have this to look forward to. But inside this bucket of love that I have, there's romance. There's friendship. There's respect. There's intimacy. There's trust. And there's a sense of affection. Now, the problem with this is that sometimes some of these things leak out. And I can find myself lonely in my marriage. It's the way I feel sometimes. Connie will tell you the same thing. We don't have a perfect marriage. There are times when all of these things are firing. But there are other times when these things, for whatever reason, they've leaked out. This S is service. Sometimes it also leaks out. And I've got almost an empty bucket. It's still love. Because I have chose this. This bucket is based upon a covenant that I made with her. Even though I'm not feeling sometimes some of these things. And sometimes we almost hit a wall, don't we? In our relationships together. Who is this person that I married? And I've heard people say this before. I've just fallen out of love. No, you haven't. You've let things leak out for whatever reason. It's still there. It's there. It's based upon a covenant. Spiritual side is just like the physical side. This is my faith. This is my spirituality. This is me being filled with the things of God. There is repentance in my life as a Christian. There is faith in my life as a Christian. There is worship in my life as a Christian. I have already today in the service singing with you. I've already expressed worship to God through my prayers and through the singing. There is fellowship with you and with God. There is prayer. We've already spent time today in prayer. For the life of me, I can't remember what the B stands for. The Bible. We've had the Bible today. Well, and there's also this matter of service. Now, what happens in this faith bucket? When these things start leaking out, I feel empty. I don't sense God. Is He there? Yes. This is a love covenant. And beloved, this is where being filled with God goes so much deeper than your marriage relationship. God made a covenant with you that He will never break. I can break my covenant with my spouse. But He will never. He's promised. He will never forsake us. Ever. That is to me, the foundational truth about eternal security. He has made a covenant of love with me. He will never, never break. But I can sure feel like that He has. Because I'm empty. So how do I correct this problem? Paul's prayer was that we would be strengthened in the inner man. What brings strength to a Christian's life? Worship, prayer, repentance, faith, the Bible, fellowship, service. All of these things go in to make me accomplish the purpose that God has for me. And that's the apostles' prayer here. That we would be strengthened, so that Christ would dwell in us and that we could experience this extravagant love. Now, I want to tell you something, and you'll say the same thing. There's nothing more satisfying than a great marriage. But a great marriage does not come automatically. It is a myth to believe that my love will grow stronger every day. That's a myth. It depends on how much I put in this receptacle that I have in my person to determine that. Now, in these 14 days of prayer that I'm asking you to join me in, I want us to refill that inner man. To get reconnected with the God of the Bible. To get reconnected with that inner man that God wants to be strong. This is what prayer can do. I think the most important aspect of us going through this process of this capital campaign, and to be upfront and personal with you, I'm not praying for a building. And I don't want you to pray for a building. I want you to pray for the glory of God. That through our process of us joining together, praying, working, trying to use good judgment and common sense in determining what God wants us to do, that in this process of prayer, that we can find all of these things happening. That brings us to verse 20. Now look at verse 20. Now. You see how important it is to give a context behind? Now. Unto Him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think. According to the what? The power that works within us. If you don't have strength in your inner man, if you don't have an indwelling Christ in your life, if you do not have this knowledge of this absolute extravagant love that God has for you, you're not going to have power in your prayer. But when those things are aligned, you have every reason to believe that according to what He's saying here, the power that works within us, we will have the opportunity to glorify Him. Which Paul says, to Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Yesterday, it was hot. And I've been staring at this mound of dirt at my house. I thought Connie would move it. She hasn't moved it. And she's away on some ladies' thing. They're not here today, as you noticed. And so I thought my neighbor was going to move this for me. And it's a pretty big job. He didn't do it. I even hired a man to come and move this for me. And made the mistake of paying him up front. He didn't show up. I know where he lives. I looked at that yesterday and I thought, I sure would like that moved. And so I just made the decision. Well, I'm going to move it. So I get my shovel and I get big containers and I back the little truck up and one shovel at a time. I fill up the containers. I drive. I empty the containers. I come back. One shovel at a time. I fill up my containers. And you know what? Finally, I got the whole mound. It's gone. It's done. It happened one shovel at a time. I look back at it now and I'd hate to do it again. But the job is done. It is accomplished. I even tried to talk Gene Zell into bringing his tractor over. I mean, two scoops or three, and that didn't. But one shovel at a time. This is what I believe is the whole key to understanding all of this. Strengthening the inner man day by day. One shovel, one scoop. It's a big job. And it's not going to happen without you making the decision, I'm going to do it. I'm committing to do it. And that's what I'm asking you to do today. You commit with me that for the next 14 days, we will focus, we will read this booklet, we will pray, we will seek God, we will get out of our lives things that don't belong. We will be open to the Holy Spirit to move back into where He wants to dwell, which means changes will need to be made. And that we will apply ourselves to this process. Some of you might be thinking, ugh, there's some things I don't know that I'm ready to part with. You're going to have to make that decision. Some of the rest of you might be thinking, oh, this is, I don't know about this. But I really am serious. Boys and girls, men and women, join me in these next 14 days of prayer. And let's see if God will strengthen the inner man. And let's see if as a result of being strengthened in the inner man, that I can sense His presence, I can see Him dwelling in my life, and that I can once again experience this great, great love. And as a result, give glory to Him. Let's bow our heads. Lord, we come to You today. We've been challenged today, Lord, to start fresh and anew as a church, as one, in our prayers that You, Lord, would find Your place here with us. Lord, I know that for some this is going to be, it's going to take a lot of sweat. I know for others it's just a continuation of what they're doing right now. For some, Lord, it may be the beginning of them getting to know You. I pray that in this process that our church will grow as one, will think as one, and will pray as one. And we thank You, Lord, for opening our hearts, opening our minds. Give us understanding, Lord, what this is. And help us to do our part, one shovel at a time, one day at a time, one moment by one moment. We pray this, Lord, in the name of Jesus, our Savior and Lord. And we ask, Lord, for Your help. In Jesus' name, amen.